Guest growl, Momo. Let's go.
You should put up a cat growl there.
By the way, bonus points for Morales working Ted Nugent into the open.
Yeah.
That takes some, Morales is a walking music encyclopedia, yep. But when's the last time you heard Cat Scratch Fever?
That was pretty good.
Amen. hey, Chris mentions the short show today. We're only going until 3:00 because Lakers-Pelicans today at 4:30 in New Orleans. We'll have that game for you. And so we've got a whole bunch of stuff between now and 3:00, including in 15 minutes. Ryan Giesis, who is a UCLA super fan, this is a kid who is going to school in Indiana and sent a random tweet telling anybody that if they gave him a ticket to the UCLA game, he would go lose his voice. And Martin Jarman, the UCLA athletic director, saw the tweet and has been hooking this kid up ever since. He's hooked him up for 3 straight games. The Bruins have won them all. They're into the Sweet 16, and Ryan's going to join us in 15 minutes. But, Ramona, it's not just UCLA that's in the Sweet 16. It's USC, and it's really the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is now 9-1 with 4 of its 5 teams reaching the Sweet 16. It's UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Oregon State. The only team that's lost is Colorado. It's the first time in 20 years that the Pac-12 has done that. And let's start with USC because I think they could win the national title. Did you watch their game last night?
Yeah, they're really impressive. I mean, Evan Mobley is legit top 3 pick. Depending on who has the top pick, he could be number 1.
And his brother was the one who they couldn't stop last night. Isaiah was the one, the other Mobley. They won by 34 points, and next up is Oregon. It's the first time 2 Pac-12 schools have played each other in tournament history. And when they met earlier this season at Galen Center, USC won easily. They won 72-58. They only played once this year. It's Andy Enfield's first trip in 8 years to the Sweet 16, and USC's first trip since 2007. But I kept watching that, Ramona, thinking, I don't know if anybody other than Gonzaga looks as good at you as USC. What do you think?
I mean, I think they have everything that you need to win, right? You have a top flight NBA quality star in Evan Mobley, right? You have a balanced team. Plus, who do they play? They have Gonzaga next, right?
No, Oregon. They play Oregon next.
And then the winner of that is the one that has they could play Gonzaga in the Elite Eight, right? Is that the right matchup?
Let me look at the
bracket.
Yes, they do.
Right?
If they win, then USC would play Gonzaga, assuming that Gonzaga beats Creighton, which we think is going to happen.
Yeah. Right. So, to me, their toughest game that they face is not actually in a national title game. It's not actually in the Final Four. It's just Gonzaga in that Elite Eight, which is. I mean, I don't know. I always like a Pac-12 now. You know, the Pac-12 hasn't won a national championship since 1997.
Yeah, Arizona. That was the Miles.
It's been a
Simon
long
team.
Time. And I don't know. I'm such a LA person. I'm such a Pac-12, you know, homer, right? I went to Cal, you know. My parents are both Bruins. So I grew up watching all the great, you know, Jim Herrick teams and Ben Howland teams and all that. And It just feels like there's so much talent that comes from LA, that comes from California, that comes from the West Coast. The Pac-12 should be great like this, and it makes me happy that they're showing out in this tournament and doing well, because it's a long time coming. Like there's too much talent that needs to stay home.
Well, they play
close. Yeah,
they play an aggressive zone defense.
Yep.
Offensively, they can play inside and out. They can shoot threes and go straight. And they are peaking at exactly the right time. And I actually think they're going to beat Oregon, and they're going to run into Gonzaga. And I give them a puncher's chance against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I think those two teams look the best in the whole tournament. USC and Gonzaga. Baylor looks really good. You could make the argument that they would be the third team on that list, but USC just looks like a monster. And so now they're on to the Sweet 16. USC is going to play Oregon at 6:45 on Sunday on TBS. 6:45 Sunday on TBS. Before that game, UCLA is going to play Alabama, and that's because UCLA's won now three straight tournament games. They beat Michigan State, BYU, and now yesterday, right after we got off the air, they put away Abilene Christian. Ramona, they've done this. UCLA's done this after losing four straight right before the tournament, including three games by double digits. Johnny Juzang has 67 points in three tournament games. He's averaging 22 points a game in the tournament. And they look very, very strong. Now, they are going to run into, I think, a tougher opponent. Alabama's been really good. And so they're going to play Alabama at 4:15 on Sunday. Greg Bergman is filling in for Lindsay today. Lindsay's out today and maybe tomorrow. But Bergman, you watch a lot of UCLA games. What chance do you give them against Alabama?
I give them a really good chance. Alabama's a really good team. They're smoking teams right now, just running right through them. But UCLA is a very, very strong, aggressive defensive team, and they play a good offense, too.
Greg, I tweeted that over the weekend. After I watched the BYU game, I said, I've obviously watched every UCLA team since I went there. I went there in the early 80s. And there have been some great teams. The Ben Hallen teams that went to three straight Final Fours were just locked down defensive teams. Those were the teams with
Darren Collison
and Kevin Love and Aaron Aflalo and Jordan Farmar. And those teams are really good. But this team, Bergman, does this team have an NBA player? Is Juzang an NBA player?
Juzang, I think, has some problems defensively and can be a bit of a problem late in games with his defense. I think actually Jaime Jaquez is your closest guy to an NBA.
But I think
talent.
You know who I think Jaquez is, Momo? Somebody you went to school with.
Okay.
I think Jaquez is Mark Madsen. He's a little more skilled offensively, but he is he's an absolute wrecking ball. Remember how Madsen at Stanford was just, he had his hands in everything. He was stirring things up on defense. He was getting a bunch of putbacks.
You know who he's reminding me of, too, is like, remember when you just mentioned the Ben Howland teams? Like, you remember Lorenzo Mata?
Sure.
Like that kind of a like.
Jaquez is better offensively than both Mata and Madsen.
Yeah.
But he's a wrecking ball. You know, Greg, I don't see Jaquez as an NBA player, but he might be one of those guys, you know, that's just got his hands in everything. The Madsen's a good example of that. There was a guy named Chris Anderson, Birdman.
Yeah, Birdman.
Who kind of had his hands in everything. Jaquez is a little better offensively than either one of those guys.
I'm thinking more along the lines of like a Josh Hart type player.
He's bigger than Hart.
But he's also smaller than those other guys. He's bigger, and I think he's a better offensive player. But the same type of defense, same type of guy that's going to last like 10 to 15 years in the league because he's just that glue type of player.
Maybe
that's the type. I
don't know if he's good enough to compete offensively in the NBA, and you have to have some offensive game in the NBA.
Such a high motor,
right?
Like he's going after everything.
He's kind of like the Morris twins. He does a little bit of everything in there. And the thing I tweeted over the weekend was they are, Ramona, so easy to root for because they just smother guys defensively, and on offense they're super aggressive. They're making cuts and the offensive rebound. And this kid, Cody Riley, has been really good for them. And they've got some ball handlers on the outside. It's just really fun to have two local teams. You and I were texting about this last night. I actually give a crap about the tournament because both USC and UCLA are in it. You know, I think in USC's case, USC is a legitimate national championship contender. They may not be able to beat Gonzaga, but they're not going to be afraid of them. They match up, and Gonzaga doesn't really have anybody to guard Evan Mobley. So I think if USC can get past Oregon, and remember, they beat them earlier in the year, USC's got a real chance. And what's funny about that is Andy Enfield, the coach of USC, I met Andy a few years ago. He's a Manhattan Beach guy like me. There was talk that if they didn't do well, you know, USC's name kept coming up in the trial, in the college basketball scandal trial. Tony Bland, one of their assistants, was like knee deep in that thing. And the word was that if USC didn't do well this year, that Enfield could be on the hot seat. Now let me ask both of you guys something. So you saw how good the Mobley brothers were yesterday. Evan and Isaiah Mobley, who are really good for USC. They're key guys. Enfield hired their dad to be an assistant coach to help sway getting those two guys on campus, which is not illegal. Is that smart or shady, Ramona? What do you think?
I think it's been done in college. I think smart. I think colleges have done that, you know, for years. And, you know, the question is how long do they stick around, right? Like, does the dad stick?
Well, Evan's gone. Evan's going to go top three in the draft.
So is that, you know, this has been, whether it's an AAU coach, whether it's somebody's uncle or
Danny Manning.
Dad.
Larry Brown hired Danny Manning. Danny Manning.
If it's a legitimate coach that's going to help your team and the two best players on your team, okay.
Greg, smart or shady?
It's smart. It happens all the time, like Ramona said. It's happened at UCLA. It's happened at USC. This happens everywhere. You hire the coach to get the player all the time.
And by the way, maybe in the case of Mobley, that, you know, he's obviously raised two really good Division I players. Maybe he's adding something to the program. It's hard to say when it's that blatant. You know how far back this goes, guys. I mean, when Kobe was in high school in Philadelphia, LaSalle hired Jelly Bean, hired Joe Bryant, just in an attempt to convince Kobe to consider LaSalle.
Wow.
And Kobe, of course, turned pro, and I think Kobe, had he gone to college, would have gone to Duke. But that's how long this has been going on. You know, I mentioned Danny Manning, who was the number one recruit coming out, and his dad, Ed, had been a coach. And so Larry Brown said, we're going to hire Ed so we can get Danny. And then Danny led him to a national championship. And now USC is three wins away from getting to that game. So, you know, maybe they could pull it off. If you haven't seen these teams play, these UCLA and USC teams play, they are really, really fun to watch. And I think, especially in the case of USC, they have a chance to win the whole thing. Now, UCLA, if they come out of that bracket, that East bracket, if they beat Alabama, they run into Michigan. And, you know, assuming that Michigan beats Florida State. And I think that UCLA matches up with Michigan. I just don't know if they can get past Alabama.
So, you know,
Alabama's the sneaky Final Four pick for a lot of people.
Right. Go ahead, Greg.
You know that this UCLA team was supposed to be one of the best teams in the country this year. They lost Chris Smith, who was their senior leader. He's able to come back next year. I don't know if he's going to, but he tested the waters in the NBA last year. He was supposed to be their best player by far.
Well, Greg, you're leaving something out.
Well, there's more.
They got a kid named Dashian Nix who basically was going to be their point guard and was a five-star recruit. He got offered at Duke, at Kentucky. And then he tested this, Ramona, this Ignite team in the NBA. Brian Shaw's coaching that team.
Yep.
And it's basically a team made up of some veteran players and then really, really elite high school players who just want to turn pro. They don't really want to go to college. And Greg, had they gotten Knicks,
he was the starting point guard.
Yeah, I mean, and probably the leading scorer on the team.
Yeah, so, and Tiger Campbell
and that
ended
Ignite
up being
team,
first team.
Well, what's interesting with that Ignite team, they have two guys on there that are probably going to be like at least top 10, probably top 5, right? There's a guy named Jalen Green and there's Jonathan Kuminga, okay? And the whole appeal of it was, okay, if you don't want to go to college, you know, if it doesn't make sense for you, you could, or if you want to make money right away, you don't have to go to New Zealand or Lithuania or whatever places that, you know, Australia, wherever guys have been going the last 2 years, you can play right here in the States in the G League against grown men who've been, I mean, that Ignite team was kind of cool. Like, you know, they had Amir Johnson on that team.
Yeah.
Jarrett Jack was on the Ignite team. So it's kind of like the top elite rookies you get some seasoning with NBA vets in the G League. It's better preparation for the NBA. But the whole point was that they weren't supposed to take guys who were committed to college. Like, you weren't supposed to take them away from colleges. But when the pandemic hit, it was like, we didn't know if we were really even going to have a college season. So you couldn't really blame them for taking, you know, Dashian and Nix, right? I mean, it was a little, there's just so many things that broke the wrong way for that to happen. But you know, it's worked out okay, right?
Like, yeah.
They're in the Sweet 16.
All right. So, and one really cool story about this UCLA run to the Sweet 16 is a kid in Indiana who, named Ryan Giesis, he's an LA kid who grew up a UCLA fan, has found himself at every game just because he sent out a tweet, and you'll meet him next. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Just a two-hour Mason and Ireland show today, leading up to Lakers-Pelicans on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Mason and Ireland on a Tuesday. Lakers in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans. Because of that, we're walking you right up until Lakers pregame. That's at 3 o'clock, but we're talking about the NCAA tournament and the Sweet 16, and I love this story. And Momo, you kind of were able to track down Ryan in kind of a goofy way.
This
is the type of stuff that I don't know if it's possible before social media. You know, social media is a cesspool and it can be awful. But then when you hear stories like this, it's like, wow, how cool. So we welcome Ryan Giesis to the show. Ryan went to Calabasas High, grew up in Los Angeles. And Ryan, first of all, am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Giesis?
You have probably pronounced my last name the best I've heard in a really long time since this has happened.
Oh,
so good.
Good
job.
Good. Okay, so give me a little background. When's the first time you remember going to a UCLA game? You grew up in L.A., right?
Born and raised in L.A., and I would say I walked into Pauley. Probably didn't walk, but I was probably carried on at least sitting on my dad's lap maybe at 1 or 2 years old.
Oh, so wow.
I remember I always had the lap pass. Didn't really have a ticket to my name, but was able to come with my family.
Okay, so as long as you can remember, you've been going to UCLA basketball games, and then you go to Calabasas High, and now are you a student at the University of Indiana? What are you doing in Indiana?
I am a film student here, and, you know, when this, you know, tournament announced that they were coming to Indiana, I figured I had to at least try and be there to cheer on my Bruins. And as you guys know, I sent out that one, you know, special tweet, and the rest is really history. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so what was the original tweet that you sent out?
So the original tweet I sent out, and keep in mind, this is after, you know, kind of monitoring these ticket websites, and these tickets really just skyrocketed from the first time I saw it was maybe $85, and really for no reason at all, I waited about 4 hours and checked those sites again and saw maybe $500 or $600. So buying a ticket wasn't an option for me, but then I took to Twitter and I responded to Ben Bolch, who's the LA Times beat writer for UCLA. I just responded and I tagged UCLA men's basketball. I didn't even tag the famous Martin Jarman. I didn't tag him, but I tagged UCLA men's basketball. And I wrote, you know, I'm a diehard UCLA fan. I'm an IU student, so I'm only 2 hours away from Mackey Arena. I will be there. I will cheer loud for 40 minutes straight if you guys give me a ticket. And then that's where Martin comes in and he sees the tweet somehow, some way, and he responds, Ryan, I'll do you better. One ticket's not enough. I'll give you two tickets. Bring a friend. Scream loud for 40 minutes. Let's go, Bruins. And we're still here.
Okay, so the biggest question I have after all of this, though, is you have been wearing the same outfit. You've obviously got a little superstitious magic that's working. I know Tyus Edney tweeted at you the other day. There is nobody more, you know, famous and revered in UCLA basketball history from recent history. Okay, let's say that.
Right.
You know, for his shot. Okay, and then Tyus Edney. But you've been wearing the same gear, and it's working. Will you wash it?
So that was a big question leading up to this week-long break, and
yeah.
You know, I sort of asked my parents last night, like, you know, what do you think? It's been out for a week. It's maybe smelling a little bit. I think my mom wanted me to wash it just because I think that's a mom thing to say.
Yeah.
But my dad, brother, my sister, they said, do not wash it. Keep it there. Keep spraying on, you know, Axe or whatever little deodorant I've got going on here.
Oh,
but,
no.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm not washing this. I'm keeping this here. I haven't told many people this, but even when I get home from the games, I take off my jersey, pants, whatever. I put it on this chair in the same order It goes the yellow undershirt, then the jersey, and then the sweatpants on top. I'm not changing up anything. I don't know if this is actually working, but I've got to keep it up at this point.
You have
okay.
to.
Okay, so, and we're talking to Ryan Giesis, who is a UCLA born and raised basketball fan from Los Angeles, went to high school in Calabasas, and just reached out blindly on Twitter asking somebody to get him into the UCLA game. And Martin Jarman, the athletic director at UCLA, who is a young, progressive athletic director that came from Boston College. So did you, I've seen you in pictures with Jarman. Did you seek him out? Did he seek you out? How did you finally meet him?
Well, that first magical game where we played Michigan State, Martin was two rows below me. So we we were celebrating, cheering, hugging the entire game. And oh my gosh, what a great game that was. I still can't believe it, but that game even happened and we won. And I was there two rows behind the UCLA athletic director. And then, you know, after the games, I'm texting him like he's my friend because he is. And we've struck up this amazing friendship. And
good
he's
for
just
him.
The greatest guy. And great, good for him and good for me and good for both of us, I guess, because we've got this special little thing going for all of Bruin Nation watching at home.
Well, you know what's amazing about this is this story is not possible in any other year. Okay. Like the idea of going to watch your team, usually you have to like travel to different cities and you have to fly everywhere.
Right.
And the tickets like are sold out months in advance. Like there's no such thing as like, hey, I'll drive 2 hours and cheer for you. Like, right? Do you realize how crazy it is that this is even possible?
Totally. Totally. And that was something, you know, I was talking to my grandpa last night, and not only could it never happen this year, but without social media, it's impossible. And like you mentioned, it all sort of come into fruition this year and the tournament being in Indy. And I knew I at least had to try and get myself to go there and bring my presence over there. But no, this is just a crazy scenario, and I'm sort of just creating my own luck here, if you will.
Oh, it's great. And we're talking to Ryan Giesis, who's a UCLA fan who is in Indiana during the pandemic. Now, Ryan, what are the games like? In each of these three games, UCLA has played a team that is closer to Indiana than UCLA is. First, it was Michigan State, then it was BYU, then it was Abilene Christian. It's going to happen again here with Alabama. Are you guys the minority? Is UCLA well represented? Is it just like one little section? Take us inside these buildings.
Well, you said it correctly. I mean, these schools are traveling very well. And not to say that we aren't, but, you know, we're more of on a friends and family basis. I've gotten to know the Kaimans and the Juzangs and the Hawkeses and the Cronins. It's a great, special, tight-knit bond, and we travel well. But, no, I mean, that first game, there was probably 100 of us and maybe 850 fans from Michigan State.
Wow.
The stadium looked very green, and we felt overpowered. But these Bruins keep fighting, and they're a resilient bunch, and they're letting us be loud. You know, towards the end, the BYU fans weren't really making much noise. It was the loud and proud Bruins. And then again, last night, you know, Abilene definitely traveled better than us and saw a lot of purple in that arena. But yeah, by the end of that game, we were the only ones cheering. So it's definitely a small section, but we're mighty and we're loud.
All right. So what year in school are you there, Ryan?
So I'm a junior here.
Okay.
Junior here at Indiana.
So, Ramona, the thing that popped into my head was Indiana stinks at basketball this year. They just fired their coach.
Oh, yeah.
But, Ryan, if they didn't, and maybe next year you'll get some big-name coach in there, if UCLA plays Indiana, that's a divided loyalty for you. Who are you rooting for?
You know, John, I've been asked that question, you know, even when I was deciding schools and in my freshman year. And the option is just so obvious. You know what you're born with, and that's what you got to ride. And obviously, I would root for UCLA, no question. And, you know, for Indiana, you're right. They haven't really done a lot to kind of lure me over to that side. Obviously, I root for the Hoosiers, but if those two teams came up against each other, I would I'd be picking blue and gold no matter what.
So, obviously, you went to Bruin games from your way back, right? Like, I mean, I wish I could take my son. He's 2 years old, but it's, you know, it's pandemic year. We can't go anywhere, right? You, like, are your parents Bruins? Is your family?
That's a good question.
There?
What's the connection there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Practically my entire family went to UCLA. So, you know, every family dinner we get together, we're watching Bruin games. We kind of, we'll maybe, you know, meet for dinner a little earlier if that means that's when we're watching the Bruin games. So pretty much my entire childhood upbringing has been centered around UCLA games. You know, my entire family also has season tickets, my grandparents, cousins. So I would, you know, always in the door at Pauley and football games alike, but more so than Laker games, because Laker tickets are expensive and whatnot. And I hadn't gone to my first Laker game till I was, 12 years old. So pretty much from 1 or 2 years old up until then, I was rocking my UCLA jersey, and I had to be the only kid in kindergarten to have a Jordan Farmar jersey. That's for sure.
Well, Ryan, I love stories like this. And I think people live vicariously through you, and there are a lot of people watching and kind of rooting for the Bruins near you. I know you've been sending out a lot of stuff. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Geesey. That's GEESEYY, short for, or I guess a little bit longer for my nickname, Geese, which is comes from my last name, Geesis. So that's a little background for all my Twitter followers out there.
All right, I got to tell you,
you got to say like your dad or your mom, your all those people, you got to say their name on the radio. They'll never forgive you. This is like your moment
to shout everybody out.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, Alex, Jenna.
There you go.
Julie and Lauren, oh my gosh, you guys, this has all happened because of you. And I can't believe, you know, where this is taking us. And just thank you for all the support. That, Ramona, thank you for suggesting that. That
I know,
is the moment
you'll
I will
hang
never forget.
Up and then you'll be like, oh my, I mean, you know, my, I know.
while I'm at it, let me just throw in there all the cousins and grandparents. They're all Bruins as well.
Well, that's great, Ryan. And keep up the good work, man. I'm a UCLA grad, and I don't know how long this run's going to go, but I love this team. I love how hard they play. I love the fact that that Martin Jarman is hooking you up, and that you seem to be a good luck charm. So so your next game's Sunday, right?
The next game is Sunday. And, you know, I was telling my mom last night, I've got this whole week now to actually do some homework. I've been pushing off actual homework because I've been pretty busy this last week. So now I get to be a student for a week. Well, and then I should be ready to go for the weekend.
Ryan, the best tip I ever got while attending UCLA was don't let school interfere with your education. And you are living proof of that. You will never forget this week going to basketball games. The homework, you can
never
stay up and pull an all-nighter. Hey, thank you for sharing your story with us and for coming on. And continued good luck, my friend. I hope you bring it home.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. And I just want to let everybody know, at these games, I'm yelling for Bruins like you, John. All of Bruin
Excellent.
Nation.
Excellent, Ryan. Hey, be safe, man. Keep it up. There is Ryan Geese.
Oh, he's going to smell, by the way, by the end of this. The way he cheers, he is sweating in that jersey.
Right, but who cares? I mean, come on.
I mean, it's social distant, you know? It's not come like on. Anybody's too close to him except for his friends.
You know, Stu Lance told me an unbelievable story once about the great Elvin Hayes, Hall of Fame player Elvin Hayes. He said that when, Stu played for the Rockets before he came to the Lakers, and Stu said that they were all in charge back then. There was no equipment manager. They were in charge of taking care of their own jersey and of washing their own jersey. So they would have to wash their jerseys on the road. And he said Elvin figured out early in his career that he just wasn't going to wash it. And he said it was a competitive advantage. He would, like, guys wouldn't want to body up to him because his jersey kind of reeked. And then he would drop 40 on him, and all of a sudden, and Stu would say, Elvin, don't you have to wash it? And he goes, no, it's my good luck charm. I'm not washing it. So thank God we have equipment managers now.
And those jerseys, when you sweat in them, it's like the material. It just adds an extra layer of funk. Like it's not like cotton or anything like that's breathable. Like this is like acrylic. Oh, it's terrible. Gross.
Coming up next, the NBA trade deadline is Thursday. There are all sorts of rumors out there. We'll find out what Ramona knows. Coming up later in this hour, what's the most uncomfortable sports interview you've ever seen or been a part of? We'll get into that. And Michael Thompson's coming in. Michael's going to have Game of Games today. So we've got all that coming up for you. 3 o'clock.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Michael, you're there. Okay, you can be part of this next segment, too.
Of course, Michael's there 5 hours early.
Momo's here, so I had to show up early.
Exactly. All right, Mason in Ireland, Michael and Momo here on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason and Ireland show. Happy birthday to Mason, who, as Chris mentioned, is not here. Ramona is here. Michael Thompson's here. We're leading you up to Laker basketball, 4:30 today in New Orleans, Lakers and Pelicans. So there are...
I've had a lot of uncomfortable interviews because you know I ask tough questions.
Well, Michael, the one I want you to tell, and we'll do it coming up later, is the time you made Chick Hearn sweat. You made him visibly uncomfortable. So we'll tell that coming up next segment. But in the meantime, there are tons of NBA trade rumors. So we're going to let you...
The craziest one is coming out of Indiana.
Okay, so we'll... Wait, let me get this out.
Get it out. Hurry up.
Michael and I cannot talk about players who are under contract to other teams.
Well, wait a minute. We could talk about... We just can't talk about coming to the Lakers.
Well, I'm going to be very careful. I'll let you do your own thing.
We could
Ramona
say like,
can
like
talk
Miami,
about anybody.
Like
so,
if Miami wanted to make a trade with Philly, we could talk about that.
I'll err on the side of caution. You probably have a little more rope than I do. But Ramona, what... Okay, so the trade deadline's Thursday. What's the biggest name you've been hearing is probably going to move?
So, well, probably or could. So that's
either
different.
Whatever you, okay, whichever direction.
So
you
could
want
to me, I think Kyle Lowry is the most impactful player that could move. Just look, he's a champion. I don't know. He's in the conversation as a Hall of Famer. I think he's that good of a player.
What do you think, Michael? Kyle Lowry, Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think he'll eventually get in. He won't be like the first ballot, but he's been a multiple time, maybe like 5 or 6 time All-Star, NBA champion. I think he's an Olympic gold medal winner. So I think he'll get in, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Momo,
he's right there. I think he goes to Miami. I think that's, you know, either Miami or Philly. I know that's a hometown thing for him.
But how are they going to match the salaries? He makes $30
million. Well, they can. It's not... They'd probably put...
Who?
Tyler Hero is the big fish there, right? Uh-huh. He has had kind of a down year after having a really good year last year.
So they'll send the Canadian Kelly Olynyk back home?
Kelly Olynyk, yeah. You can make those salaries match up. You might have to put...
$30 million? You got to get to win 25%, right?
Yeah, so Dragic makes like 20.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him. They're going to give him up? Wow.
I know. Well, I mean, you have to make the salaries match. So that's an interesting one. If you're Miami and you feel like... You were in the finals last year. Let's not forget. They played in the finals last year. They're getting all their guys back. And you have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo firmly in their prime. They're healthy now. Both of them have, you know, had their issues with COVID, but now they're past it. And the East is still really wide open.
Would you make that
Brooklyn
deal
over there?
Would you give up Dragic for Lowry?
I would.
You would?
No,
wait a minute. Ramona, isn't the team that's most positioned to make a trade in the East Boston? Explain that trade exception thing.
Boston has this giant trade exception. I think it's like $28 million
because of Gordon Hayward leaving, right?
So yeah. Gordon Hayward, you know, this is why in the NBA when you have a free agent who's going to leave, no matter how hurt you might be about it, you should always try to do a sign and trade if at all possible, because you're able to do things like this. I mean, you're able to create a trade exception where a trade exception essentially means you can take back that money and not have to make the salaries match. Like, you can just take back the player into your trade exception.
So like Boston could have traded, say, Gordon Hayward to Charlotte for a second round pick.
Yeah. I forget what the actual trade ended up working, and it worked because I think Charlotte was enough under the cap. Anyway, the cap guys can explain that better than I can, but either way you can take... Now Kyle makes more than their trade exception, so that doesn't fit there. Even though I think he'd be a great fit there. They really need a point guard.
But Maruna, they could send more money out to accommodate, right?
I'm not sure if you can do it like that. I think the player has to fit fully under the trade exception. I think you can't like combine that in another player. So that's why it doesn't quite like, but you could do half and half. So you could do half of your trade exception to, let's say, trade for JJ Redick. Okay. Or trade for, Boston, I think, needs a point guard. Would that be a Lonzo Ball landing spot? Would that be a George Hill landing spot? Like, that's, you know, that's, there's names out there that make sense for them in that point guard role. Cause you know, they they really need one. They really, the Boston has been a very underachieving team this year.
The name that just popped up, I was just reading on Real GM. The one that confuses me is the guy who just killed the Lakers last week was Malcolm Brogdon. Why would Indiana put him up for a trade?
Yeah, Indiana's that's an interesting team right now. I think they're tinkering, and I also think sometimes, they're a little underwhelming this year as well. They want to get better. They also have some big financial decisions to make about guys. You know, Miles Turner's name has been out there. Sabonis's name is out there. Brogdon's name is. I mean, these are guys that they've spent a lot of money on, and they also have a new coach. So it depends on how that's going to mesh with the talent and the skill set. But if you don't think that you're quite good enough to make it to win with this group, then maybe you do need to think about something different.
The only thing that scares me for the Lakers, just trading a deadline stuff going on with buyout season is Andre Drummond, and if he gets bought out and he ends up in Brooklyn,
yeah, and that could happen.
He's really good. Ramona, do you think because of this play-in tournament, 10 teams in each conference are going to make the postseason. So that means that, more teams make the playoffs than miss it by far.
Right.
You know, like only, 11 teams miss it. So do you think there'll be more trades because teams are hesitant or going for it, or less trades because they don't want to break up anything they've got going?
Well, I think it's going to be one of those domino effects. So if once there's one move, so this is how it always works with, like, if one contender really goes for it and or if one team just really dismantles, okay, then it'll start a chain reaction of other teams. So there's usually a tipping point deal. So if Oladipo, I think when he moved, I think the two most likely to move are probably Oladipo and Aaron Gordon from Orlando. I think Aaron Gordon's a pretty good player. I think he'll affect things.
Right. Like, he would be perfect in Boston, I would think.
Yeah, Boston. And I look at teams like Denver, Portland. I heard Minnesota's name for him. I don't know. He wouldn't really affect things for Minnesota, right? But,
don't think the Clippers are going to do anything?
Well, I think they want to, but what can they do? I mean, they don't really have much to offer. I think they really do need a lead guard. By the way, we should talk about that Clipper game last night. That was unbelievable.
Well, Michael, did you watch that? They were down 22 in the second half, and Ty Lue said, "All right, you starters aren't even trying. Right. I'm putting the backups in." And Luke Kennard went 8 for 8 and brought them all the way back.
And they won. And they won. And he
snapped the Hawks' winning streak.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, that was an interesting, but there's something about it. Like, why do they have games like that? Why do they have to take their starters out? I mean, you're trying to win a championship. You just can't have these meltdowns all the time.
And Momo, do you still think the Lakers are more likely to make changes via the buyout market than via trade?
I do. I mean, I know that they're in on some guys. They've been kind of poking around on bigger names, but it's going to come down to, do you want to, is that player an upgrade over the potential of THT or the potential of Alex Caruso, right? I just think they really just have to get healthy, and maybe there'll be some interesting names that kind of they can do something with. But I don't know. You guys watch THT every night. I mean, that guy is. He's a steal for them.
We love him. All right, well, we'll see what happens. The trade deadline is on Thursday. All right, coming up next. I think I heard the most uncomfortable interview I've ever seen on ESPN. So we're going to use it as an excuse for Michael and Ramona and I to tell you about uncomfortable situations we've been in, including a time Michael made the usually unflappable Chick Hearn incredibly nervous. We'll have that story coming up for you next. A fast track at the top of the hour. Game of Games next hour. It's Michael's game today. Lots of stuff going on. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it is Mason and Ireland, but today I have Momo, Ramona Shelburne, and Michael Thompson all on deck here as we get you ready for Lakers Pelicans tipping off at 4:30 today. Guys, it is no secret that Paul Feinbaum, the college football guy at ESPN, has never been a fan of former USC and current Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin. Do you guys know about this?
No.
No.
Didn't know that. Okay.
Feinbaum has hated Kiffin for years. He used to openly call for Kiffin to be fired when he was at USC. Feinbaum once called him the Miley Cyrus of college football.
Whoa.
That's why it was a little surprising that Kiffin agreed to go on Feinbaum's TV show this week, where Lane confronted him about all of it.
Wow.
This runs a little under 2 minutes.
Okay.
But it is cringeworthy. Take a listen. This is Paul Feinbaum and Lane Kiffin on his show this week.
By the way, dude, for me to make you feel old is quite an accomplishment for someone of my age.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. That's the first compliment you ever given me.
I try hard. I mean, I search Twitter trying to find something good to say about you, but I'm struggling, Coach. Anyway, look, in terms of the season,
you still let's make sure everybody knows you still owe me because you did get me fired at USC that Saturday morning by saying I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football, which we've helped you since then. That's not really a put down.
Yeah, for those who didn't see this, and I'm blushing even beyond the normal blush of makeup. I said that on College Game Day. It was my first year at ESPN, Coach. I was trying to make a name for myself, and I, unfortunately, you just happened to be the next victim. I do feel badly about that.
Well, don't worry. We helped you. We gave up 62 points that day, so it wasn't all you.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, it wouldn't have hurt if you won the game. I mean, I didn't make that story up that you were struggling out there. In fact, I may have been pretty prescient predicting your downfall. But to continue this soap opera on, I ran into you 2 weeks later. You were on game day in Seattle, Washington. And I wrote a chapter about this in a book. I thought you were going to kill me.
That's what some of the people on set, I think, were worried about, that they said. But we became good friends. And so
we did. You still have the Tennessee
thing deep down in you, too. So I understand. Healing takes time.
Needless to say, that was like 2 minutes of the most uncomfortable television of all time. And it got me to thinking, Michael, one of my favorite stories of all time is the time you made Chick Hearn sweat. Chick was normally the most unflappable broadcaster I had ever seen. But tell the story about the one time you made Chick nervous.
Almost ever heard of this?
No.
I have not heard this.
All right, so Chick and I are doing one of his pregame sit-downs. He's, back in the days, interviewed the Laker players pregame. And so I go out there with Chick, and of course, Chick, the camera comes on, and let's see if I can imitate Chick. Chick goes, welcome back, Laker fans. We're sitting here with Michael Thompson. Michael, how you doing? I'm doing well, Chick. Happy to be here. Well, Michael, the Lakers are happy to have you, but you are an enigma. And I go, what'd you call me? knowing what he said, I knew he said enigma, but I couldn't help it.
Oh, man.
And he was like, enigma, Michael. that means puzzling sometimes, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Is that, Ramona, is that not like the ultimate? But
oh,
of course,
my God.
If that happened in 2021, they'd try and cancel one of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, back in those days, you could have fun and kid around and not take everything so serious. So I figured I'd get him with that one. Because, you know, it's a strange word sometimes. It can be, if you don't say it clearly, you know, you can hear it the wrong way.
So my most uncomfortable thing was something that was very famous. If matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and you just type in the words Shaq swears, this will come up.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I'm interviewing Shaq. There's a game in Toronto, and I'm the sideline guy back when this happened. And it is, they're grabbing, and Vince Carter's barreling down the lane and trying to hit a basket. The Lakers are up by one, and Carter gets, he thinks, fouled, and he's yelling at the refs, and Shaq's yelling at the refs, and the game ends. And I'm only allowed to interview players on the court when the Lakers win. Mm. So I've arranged with John Black, the Laker PR guy, to take Shaq. And the Lakers win. I walk onto the court, and Shaq is standing there, and I say, They say, let's go down to John Ireland. I say, Shaq, this was a hard-fought win. Both teams felt like they weren't getting calls at the end. You guys pulled it out. How did you do it? Shaq completely ignored the question.
Oh, yeah.
And basically said something along the lines of, Jorge, you may even be able to find this. Shaq completely ignores the question and says something along the lines of, if David Stern wants to ruin this effing game, he'll keep sending us refs like this. Mm-hmm. And I say, Shaq, we're on live. And I'm like grabbing his elbow. Shaq, we're on live. He goes, I don't give a blank. So now I know I've been hit with two FCC fines. The first one for the F word and the second one for the I don't give a blank. And I'm thinking in my head, what in the world can I say to get out of this? And I said, all right, let's calm down and talk about the way I knew about Shaq, that if you asked him about his teammates, he would take that off ramp and say good things. So I said, George found it. Here it is.
I know you were frustrated at how the officiating went down the stretch there, but you guys pulled it out and was a big win.
David Stern, I wonder why the league is losing money. That's why. People pay good money to come watch these athletes play, and they try to take over the game.
Shaq, we're on live. I know. Let me ask you this.
But here's the thing about the FCC, They worry so much about swear words or a couple of swear words, but yet we can show all the killing on TV that you can show. Isn't that amazing? Favorite.
By the way, we did not get fined one penny for that. You know why?
Why?
Something very famous happened later that day.
Was it Janet Jackson?
Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. And since I worked for CBS, KCAL and CBS are both owned by CBS, they said, well, we're going to fine him $1 million for Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. We'll let the Shaq. But Shaq did get suspended for the next game. And, you know, Shaq was making so much money back then, Michael.
Yeah.
It cost him like $400,000.
Exactly.
I was nervous.
That's ridiculous.
And I walked up to him on the back of the plane and I said, I'm so sorry. He goes, not your fault.
Well, you know, Momo, I take pride in grilling my guests, unlike the kiss-off. Styles of Mason and Ireland when they guests come in, right? So, in 2014, in studio here, I had the pleasure of interviewing Floyd Mayweather in studio.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Ireland remembers this, but so Floyd comes in with his entourage, like 30 people in the studio here. You could picture that. So I'm talking to Floyd, and I said, Floyd, you know, when are you going to stop ducking Manny Pacquiao? You know, this is before the Pacquiao-Floyd fight. I said, because you guys have been talking for years now about fighting each other. Why don't you fight him? What are you afraid of? Ooh, Mona, I think he cussed me out, got up, took his headphones off, and stormed out. And as he was walking out, because I was still in the studio, everybody was like, that bleeping in there, he's cussing me out. So how about that? He just got up and stormed out. But, you know, I've seen Floyd many times since then, and he and I couldn't be more friendly.
Ramona, what's the most awkward interview you've ever been a part of?
Pretty much every interview that involved TJ Simers was kind of awkward.
Yeah, right? Because he would try and push the other people's buttons, right?
Yeah, he would. I mean, it would always immediately, we just kind of let TJ do his thing. Cause like, if you got in the middle of it, then you became part of the story and you were like, oh God, you know, like the one was, we were at a WTA tennis tournament. And TJ, I mean, it was a terrible tournament. It was like, it was supposed to be the championship. So we had all the best players in the world here at Staples Center. And Justine Henin, Kim Clijsters, Serena was here. And there was no fans. Nobody showed up, Michael. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And it was just like, TJ just wanted to have like a TJ thing and come out and rip on everybody or whatever. And I love TJ. I think he's actually a really good reporter and guy.
Yeah,
and
I miss him.
I miss him. I think we were better off with guys like TJ around and, pushing people, right? Because I don't think people do that anymore.
Nope.
But he did this one where it was like he was trying to like kind of grill Justine Henin, and you pronounce it Henin.
Right? Tennis player, right?
Yeah, tennis player. But now she was Justine Henin Ardan. So she had a watch sponsorship or something with Rolex. And I think he was trying to make something out of like, do you play with your watch on or something? But she didn't really understand it because it was like, she speaks English, but not like enough to understand.
Yeah,
the
lost
whole
in translation.
Yeah. And it was just so uncomfortable because he kept at it. And like, she was like, what are you trying to say? Like, and all of us were like, should we jump in here and be like, look, you know, she speaks French. Like, it's like, she's not getting this, you know, this, you're trying to diss her for playing with the sponsor and the, wow. you know, like, and it was just like, it just kept going and it was just, oh, it was painful.
Why was he trying to egg her on like that? What was he trying to get?
Literally just trying to get an angle, you know, I'm trying to just some kind of an angle there. Like, I think it was like about playing with your watch and you, you know, can you really play tennis with a watch? I don't know.
You should
have
spoken for Justine. You should have said, TJ, just stop.
That's enough. That's enough. Yeah, she doesn't get it, you know? Yeah. Like, it's one thing if like you're making somebody uncomfortable because they have something to be uncomfortable about. Like the Fine Bomb, when you played that for me, at first I was like, good for Paul for like owning, like, hey, it was my first year at ESPN and I was kind of trying to make a name for myself and I went a little too far and like owning that. Like, this is the way I learned. When you write something negative about somebody, no matter what you write, you show up the next day and you let them have their say back at you. You know, like, don't be one of those, you know, hit and run hot take.
Right.
Artists,
it's actually the exchange is what makes for compelling copy. Hey, Bergman, what's the most awkward interview you've ever been involved with?
Super easy. And Ramona, you might have actually been here for it too. Okay. Yasmani Grandal with Mason in Ireland. Yep, you were there. Yeah, I think Mason was off, but you were there, John.
And he
there,
did
Ramona?
Not want to do it, and he gave us nothing but one-word answers.
Oh. It was so bad. It was so bad. So what do you think of your play? It's fine.
Man.
I had an uncomfortable one last week with Mason in Ireland, Wilmo.
What'd you do?
Well, LeVar came in and called me soft.
So oh, I listened to that.
As
that
a
was
wet,
gold.
As a wet Q-tip.
Yeah, exactly. For like sucking up to Kareem.
Yeah, I was proud of you that day, though, Michael.
That
you did a good job of coming back at him. All right, coming up next is Fast Track. I got a question from Ramona. She's got a question for me. We'll let Michael be a part of Fast Track, so you'll get three opinions. Cool. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.